going to ask you just to start by praying for yourself, and you're going to pray according to Ephesians 1, verse 18, that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, that you will see and know the hope of your calling, that through this message, that God will open your eyes to see and know the hope of his calling on your life. Let's just pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, you are well able to open the eyes of our hearts, to bring understanding to our minds about your calling on our lives, your claim on our lives, Lord, and the glorious riches of what you have placed in us. Lord, I pray by the time we get to the end of this meeting that we will see more of who you are in us. And more than that, Lord, that we will be so inspired to take hold of this great big life that you've given us and run with it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, the Lord is doing something great amongst us. Really something quite special. We are on a journey to discover the real Christianity. And we so need that. We so need to know what this real Christian life is. It's not just talk, it's power. It's not just words and theory, it's life-changing, life-altering power of God in our lives. And, you know, let's face it, if you saw a withered hand stretch out in front of you, put your own hand in front of your face, imagine that was withered, and you saw that instantly become good and right, shock and awe. There'd be some shock and awe. If you saw a blind man be guided into this auditorium with his white stick and you saw him receive his sight, there would be some shock and awe here. Now, I'm not undermining, we've seen some great miracles amongst us, some really, look, you can't deny that was God, events and processes amongst us. But I believe we're going to see things in the days ahead that will make our hair curl, as my nan used to say. I read a story earlier in the week, a testimony really about a woman with a 30-pound tumour in her abdomen. And just to put that in perspective, 30 pounds, that's like three really big newborn babies or four newborn babies, huge in size and weight. And she was in agony. She couldn't sit, she couldn't lie down because of the pain, and she cried out to the Lord to heal her. And the power of God hit her, and this is what happens. I'm just going to read to you what this testimony said. The mass began to twitch and crunch and wither and diminish. The action was so terrific, she cried out at the top of her voice. But in 3 minutes, the thing was totally gone. It had absolutely dematerialized. No blood, listen, no blood, no pus, no substance. Sorry for the graphics there. But this is 30 pounds of something that was there and dematerialized in front of people's eyes. It's shocking. Absolutely shocking. I mean, exciting, but shocking. Imagine being the woman. We're going to read together Mark chapter 16, which says, "And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Just look at your own hands again. Just put them in front of your eyes, in front of your face. Those hands can heal the sick. Right now, those hands can heal the sick. Because God is in us. Not just ministers, not just people on a platform. Look at the bit highlighted there. These signs shall follow those who believe. Those who believe. Faith is the crux of the issue. Believing is the kind of pivotal point. The thing that makes a difference. Do we believe then? Let me ask you this question. Do we believe, as Pastor Judith said last week, that we are only human? Are you only human? No. If you are born again, the Spirit of God lives in you, you are more than human. Actually, you're superhuman. I want to speak to you this morning about God in your soul. God in your soul. Think about that. God in your mind, working in your will and in your emotions. God in your soul. If you're born again, you know you have God in your spirit. You know that. You certainly know it as theory. You may know it as an experience, but you know God is in your spirit. But God in your spirit is not enough. Let me put it to you like that. God in your spirit and God in my spirit is not enough. God in your spirit, without any change in your soul, will mean that you will live like a mere man. You will live only human. You will live an ordinary life, wishing and hoping for evidence of God, perhaps hearing other people's testimonies, but never experiencing him personally. I love hearing other people's testimonies. I love reading books and getting inspired, you know. But I really want my own testimonies. I really want my own experiences of God, don't you? It's what we're made for. God in our spirit and God in our soul. But if he stays locked in your spirit, you won't actually see him. You won't actually experience him. It's kind of a low-level Christianity. God locked up in your spirit is a low-level Christianity. And I think if the first disciples kind of assessed a person in that state, I think they'd say, well, that's not Christianity at all. That's not faith in the God we know. That's not the life change that we know can happen. It makes God seem very distant and very unreal. If God is locked up in your spirit, he isn't powerless, but in you, in a sense, he's powerless because he needs to get into your soul and out of your body so that the world see him, hear him, so that you see him and hear him. God in your spirit is not enough. Just turn to the person next to you and say, God in my spirit is not enough. Now, some of you may have seen this next diagram before. I know many of you haven't, but just have a look at this. I find it very helpful to actually think of myself in these three parts because it is the reality of how I'm made and how you are made. If you're born again, we're all made spirit, soul, and body. Every human being on this planet has spirit, soul, and body. A human spirit, small s, a soul, and a body. But once you're born again, the Spirit of God comes to live here, in your spirit. You can't see him. You don't always feel him, but he's there. And you have a soul and you have a body. But Colossians 1, verse 27 says, to them, that's us, God will to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the secret of our success, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Okay? It's believing he's there that makes the difference. It's believing he's in us that makes all the difference in the world. Now, I have to be honest. I was trying to work it out. I think I've been a Christian for 24 years. And I feel like only now am I getting this. It's taken me that long. And I can't honestly say I've got it yet. But I feel I'm starting to grasp it. And if you've only been saved for 2 weeks, it's all right, because the Lord can fast track you. It doesn't take 24 years, thank God. You know, but the secret to life, to every joy, to every success is this: Christ in us. The hope of glory, the hope of the power of God, the hope of seeing the goodness of God. Christ in me now, right now, Christ in me, Christ in you. Christ in you tomorrow morning as you drive to work or do the school run or walk down the street. Christ in you, that's the secret. And something kind of life-changing is happening to me as I'm starting to kind of think about this, meditate on the reality of this, Christ in me. I've started really to see myself and the world from a different perspective. And the perspective I'm starting to kind of grasp is that I have dominion. I can rule by the Spirit of God because of Christ in me. I can rule over myself. Glory to God. I think that's almost the biggest victory. I can rule over my own thoughts. I can rule over my own emotions. You don't have to get on that roller coaster. You don't have to be a victim of your own emotions. Christ in you can rule. Now, somehow, even though I've known this scripture for years, I feel like I've missed it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like a bar of soap. You kind of grab it, but then it's gone. And in a sense, I've related to God outside of me. Because I haven't really grasped Christ in me. When I pray to God in heaven. Which isn't wrong. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He is in heaven. But he isn't just in heaven. He's in you now. He's in me now. And anyway, I've started to relate to God in me, sort of thinking and seeing God in me, and it's made me much more aware of him. I'm kind of just at the start of this, okay? So I'm kind of being open and honest and sharing the start of this journey I'm going through. But I'm just more aware that I'm not separated from him. I'm actually joined to him, and he is joined to me. And it sounds really basic, but this kind of mind adjustment, really, it's transforming me. I'm not exaggerating it. I mean, really, it's changing my days. It's changing how I think. And what I've known as theory, really, is becoming revelation as I'm choosing to believe it. Christ in me. Christ in me today. Christ in me this evening. Christ in me as I walk the dog. Christ in me as I do the dishes. Christ in me, you know? Not just with me on the outside, with me on the inside. Whether I feel him or not. Even though we've heard it 1,000 times and know it, we do still kind of depend on our emotions an awful lot. And we shouldn't, you know, because they're no indicator. But as I choose to believe the word, actually, I am starting to experience him. Is my happy testimony. And I've got a scripture for you, 2 Peter 1 verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you, not just added, be increased, be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, not knowledge like a Pharisee, knowing him from a distance, knowing about him, knowing the theory of him. There are a lot of people, a lot of theologians and very well-read men and women who know about Jesus but have no evidence of grace and peace in their lives at all. Their lives are falling apart. They know a lot. They could quote a lot. But there's no grace and peace. It's relational knowledge. Knowing him through relationship. And I have to say, the more I know he's with me and in me, it makes me want to relate to him more. If you've got a constant companion, you talk to them, don't you? You know, if you acknowledge they're there, you talk to them, you share life with them. And it's having a calming effect, kind of stabilizing my mind and my emotions. But more than that, it's making me bold, kind of defiant as well, against the enemy. Bold to rule over negative thoughts and my emotions, negative emotions. And the same, look, I'm not denying, probably all of us in this room have experienced this to a measure. What I'm here to say today is there's so much more. You know, like when you're swimming in the sea, I was thinking of it like this. You know when you're swimming in the sea and you're probably out of your depth, say it's like 20 feet of water and you're swimming, having a happy time, and you're kind of swimming out towards the horizon, and suddenly, really suddenly, it gets awfully cold. And you're aware, oh my goodness, this kind of shelf that I was swimming on has suddenly dropped away. And this has got seriously deep. I just got to head back now this way. But this is like revelation. I thought it was deep what I was in and knew. But suddenly it's like, oh, there's levels to this that I've not got before. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And the other thing is, as well, when you know the Lord is with you, you don't fear anything. I mean, really. King David said it in Psalm 23, didn't he? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Think about that. Imagine your life, your week, your days, fearing no evil. Be amazing, wouldn't it? I mean, little things, big things, everything in between. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. King David had no fear of the lions and the bears or Goliath. There was a defiance in him because he knew God was with him. That God is now in us. He's not just with us. He is in us. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We can say you are in me. He's greater than any other person on the earth. It's greater than any other power on the earth. Flesh or spirit, man or demon, nothing you and I will ever encounter is greater than the God in us. Amen. Praise God. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Let's say that together. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. He's with you and he's in you. But he doesn't just want to remain in you. That's not the plan. That's not God's plan. And we need to understand God's plan of salvation. The first step was the saving of your spirit. That happened on the day you invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Your name was written in that book of light and you received a conscious knowledge that your sins were forgiven. That was an event. Boom. Oh, happy day. But it doesn't need to stay there. Because actually what the Lord wants to work is process. The next part is process. The salvation of your soul. The Holy Spirit is in us to change us. If you haven't cottoned on to that yet, it's really good to recognize, actually, I've got another person in me that is wanting to change me. Wanting actually to convert my soul, to make us like him from the inside out. So on a day you were born again and your spirit was saved, but our soul needs saving too. This really is a follow-on from Pastor Judith's message last week. And I'm aware I'm saying things that most of us at least have heard before. But what I'm saying is, gloriously, it's not us changing ourselves. Amen. Christianity, you know, is the only religion that's not about trying to be better. Amen. Trying to make yourself better. Every other religion is about self-improvement. We have to recognize we can't change ourselves. You know, the old, what is it, Chinese proverb, a leopard can't change its spots. We can't. We try and we maybe see 2 steps forward, but then we take 3 steps back and just get disappointed in ourselves all over again. Christ in us is our hope of change. Our hope of seeing life differently. Our hope of doing life differently. Our hope of getting out of these ruts in our thinking that mean we just keep doing things the same old way. Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." Basically, in your spirit, you've been made perfect. But there's a process of sanctification that he is wanting to work in your soul and in my soul so that Jesus is revealed. So the soul is perfect, but you're a work in progress in your soul. Just turn to the person next to you and say, "I'm a work in progress." As long as we're willing, we're a work in progress. But let me say this. It's not okay to have God in your spirit and think like the devil. And taught like the devil. It's not okay. It's not okay with God, and it shouldn't be okay with us. The surrender of your spirit then is not enough. He wants more. The Bible says the Holy Spirit yearns jealously. He wants your soul and he wants your body. He actually wants takeover. Unless we yield
our souls
and our bodies, we're divided. You're kind of like a split personality. On a good day, you're like Jesus. On a bad day, you're like the devil. Really. Bitter, angry, judgmental, all the horrid, ugly things that afterwards you were like, did I really say that? Did I really think that? Yes, you did. Christ is in you, absolutely. But you didn't yield. He's just shut in there. You carried on, behaving like the old man. And it's described quite brilliantly in the I'm going to read the Message Bible to you. Romans 7, verse 15 of the Message says this. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way and then act another, doing things I absolutely despise. Hands up if you can relate to that. Come on, be honest. What a sorry state to be in. The Bible calls it the cycle of sin and death. But then the chapter finishes, praise God, verses 24 and 25. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. Praise God. Jesus Christ can and does. He's our Saviour, not just of the spirit, but of the soul. That bad-tempered part of you that can go off on one and make you miserable, make other people miserable, he can save that part. We can't change ourselves, but Christ in us is our hope of glory. Christ in us changes us, but it's not automatic. It's as we yield. And this, if you get anything out of this message, get this. We've got to yield more. You've got to yield more. Give up some more ground for Jesus. Because let me tell you, it's worth it. And it is the only way to experience the grace and peace of God that you so desperately need and want. Now, I want to share a kind of recent personal testimony. Pastor Judith and I, since the beginning of the year, have been praying this way, praying for destiny, praying the will of God in our lives. And really, in the best way we know how, yielding, surrendering, body, soul, and spirit to him. And I have to be honest, sometimes I feel like it, sometimes I don't. You know, sometimes my mind and heart are full of love for Jesus, and I'm conscious of him, I'm conscious of his presence. Often, I'm very conscious of myself, very aware of how I feel, and oh, I think I could do with a drink, and do I need the toilet, and I think I need a snack, and normally it kind of revolves around those really meaningful things in my head. But, you know, and we start to pray, and I'm just, my mind's here and there, it's like a butterfly fluttering here, fluttering there. But as I exercise self-control, because I can, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, as can you, and keep on praying, I actually become more aware of him. Glory to God. I kind of lose sight of myself. You've got to go a little bit, travel a little bit with him. But as you fix your mind on him, you become more aware of him. Suddenly it's like, oh, I'm aware of his presence here. And we've had some amazing times of prayer. Praise God, really amazing times of prayer. And then you finish. And you kind of become aware of the natural again, and nothing's particularly changed. You still look the same, still sound the same. Okay, we pray in faith. But here's the great bit, and this is really the kind of bit of the testimony that I want to share. What I have noticed is my tastes have started to change. It's not me changing my tastes. It's not me working to kind of be different in any way, but supernaturally, without me trying. I want to read more than watch TV. I still watch TV, but when I do watch TV, I'm more selective. You know, the kind of things that I used to watch that are not obviously wrong. I wasn't watching anything terrible, but the kind of things I used to watch, comedy programs, for example, where people are mocking one another, I just kind of feel a bit uncomfortable. And it's not quite as funny anymore. Do you know what I mean? My tastes are changing. And it's like a narrowing of the path that's happening. And it's not me doing it. It's the Holy Spirit in me. But it's not because I should. It's because I want to. This is the joy of it. And I have to say, I don't feel restricted. I feel liberated. I'm happier on the narrow path. Because your flesh will say, oh, that's, you know, mean and miserable and, you know, it's all straitjacketed. But it's not like that. I am happier going this way than I was on the broader way, you know. That's the work of God in my soul. Him taking possession of my soul to accomplish his will. Sounds dreadful to the flesh. It will kick and scream, possession, control. Dreadful, that's not for me. You want to back away from that. But it's not like that. It's not like that. You actually discover, oh my goodness, this is so much better over here than it was over there. I thought I was free and happy here. Turns out I'm freer and happy as it's getting narrower. It's not self-effort. Praise God. It's the grace of the Holy Spirit at work. And we have a choice, don't we? 100 times a day, flesh or spirit, flesh or spirit. But the more we cultivate relationship with him, we actually want his way. We want what he wants. The choice becomes easier because actually what he wants becomes more important to you. The more we acknowledge his presence in us then, the more we cultivate relationship with him, the more we want his will. And it's a process. But it's a process that we need to pray about, kind of be aware of, and not ignore. We can't afford to ignore this second part of this great salvation, because actually it makes a difference between you experiencing God this side of heaven. Amen. Or not. Amen. Or living like an ordinary person, just human. And Jesus showed us how. He committed himself daily. I'm sure much more than daily. But, you know, all the time, to the will of God. Kingdom of God come, will of God be done. Not my will, but your will. Humility. And if I can just say this, I believe humility is our salvation. Humility is your salvation. I think pride is probably one of the greatest things we need to overcome. That thought in your head that says, I know best. Or what I want is the best. The very condition that caused Lucifer to fall from heaven, you can read about it in Isaiah 14. He wanted to exalt himself above God and rule in the place of God. And it says, pride was found in his heart, and Jesus said, because he was there at the time, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That same pride works in our unsurrendered souls. In your unsurrendered soul, in my unsurrendered soul, and we're probably not conscious of it. We probably mask it with a whole lot of excuses, but at the root of it, at the root of every rebellion and resistance against God is pride, is the thought that you know best. And the bottom line is, you don't, because you're not God. Deliver us from evil, Lord. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace. Unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. But nevertheless, the favor and power of God to live this life in the best way possible. As we yield to him consistently through the day then, we gain power over our own flesh, power over the enemy, so that by him we can cast out anything that isn't God-like. A thought of sin or selfishness, by the Spirit of God in you, you can rebuke it and cast it out as not worthy of a son of God. You know, you get a thought, it's like, that is not worthy to be in my head. Get out in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. Devil, in Jesus' name. I'm not carrying on entertaining that thought. Same with our bodies. Any thought of sickness, because you know, often before you get sick, you have a thought of sickness. Any thought of sickness, suggestion of sickness, you dominate it and cast it out. You don't allow it to possess you. Be like Jesus. Defeat the enemy with the word. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. Humility then is the gate into the grace of God, the entrance point into the grace of God. And as we yield, as you take that first step, as you yield, you step into the power. And you step into a revelation of your dominion over flesh and the devil. He in me is bigger. God in me is bigger than this threatening thought, than this threatening symptom. God in me is bigger. And God wants to be more than theory. He wants to be. He is power, but he wants to be power in our lives. But for that to happen, the Spirit has to get out of our souls, out into our souls and into our bodies. And I know this is meaty, but I know you can take it because you're designed for it. Just say to the person next to you, you can take this. It's good for you. Okay. Stay with me because it's really important you stay focused. Okay. Mark chapter 4 verse 21 says, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? Let me say that again. Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? How ridiculous. Is it not to be set on a lampstand? I want you to tell the person next to you what you think that means. Okay, did you hear some good answers? I'm sure you did. The lamp... Okay, back together. The lamp, Proverbs says, is the Spirit. Spirit of the man is the lamp of the Lord. The lamp is the Spirit. The bed or the basket is symbolic of your soul and your body. You don't put the Spirit under the soul and the body. You need to put the lamp on the stand. The Spirit over the soul and the body. You got that? It's really simple, isn't it? Really clear. The Spirit shouldn't be weighed down and hidden by your soul, by your mind, your will and your emotions, or your body. It needs to be elevated and lifted up. How on earth do we do that? Okay, verse 24. Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. So take heed what you hear. That's a warning, isn't it? Take heed what you hear. Your eyes, naturally, and your ears are the entrance to your heart. Your eyes and your ears are the entrance to your heart. Proverbs said, out of the heart flow the issues of life. So what gets into your heart through your eyes and your ears is going to help you or hinder you. Whatever we allow ourselves to be exposed to then has influence over us. Whatever we allow children to be exposed to has influence over them. We should not then be entertained by anything demonically inspired. Horror films are offensive to the Spirit of God and should be offensive to us. Films, songs, things on the internet that encourage and promote sexual promiscuity, they are offensive to God and should be offensive to us. We need to take heed what we hear. We need to be careful what we hear. We need to be careful what we watch, because it has influence over us. We need to shut out everything that's dark. Everything that's to do with that other kingdom, shut it out. It has no place in the life of a believer. Now, I'm aware I'm like down the line, but we need that. Your soul needs it. My soul needs it. Because, you know, in a sense, it depends what kind of character you have, but we can all give our souls a lot of leeway. Our flesh, a lot of leeway. And in the process, we end up in a pit. Let's just not do that. Okay, verse 25 finishes. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. if you dishonor what God's given you, the revelation God's given you, it will be taken away. Who takes it away? The thief. Jesus called Satan the thief. You basically give him access to take the good that God has given you. Take the light so that you're back into darkness. If you honor it, however, set it on the lampstand, live by it, put Jesus above your soul and body, more will be given. The Holy Spirit is given to those who obey him. Now, I'm going to finish with this testimony. I was reading the Copeland's magazine last week. It's called Victory Magazine. It's really good. There's some great testimonies often and articles in there. I was reading this article by Kenneth Copeland, and it really caught my attention. And he explained that how at 70 years old, he started to wind down. He started thinking about various family members who kind of reached that point, hit 70, and started to decline physically. And what he discovered was the same thing was happening to him. Didn't have as much energy, had a few tweaks, aches and pains, you know, just not quite as much get up and go in the mornings as he used to have. And he was like, oh, you know, well, this is just the way of all flesh, isn't it? This is what happens. But he woke up to what the enemy was doing. And he describes what happened. Basically, he says that he got a fresh revelation from the Word. Psalm 91, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. And he realized that his life was not defined by his family history, but by the written Word of God. And this is what he said. I want to read this quote. He said, talking about the Lord, he commanded me to stop yielding to the natural DNA and release by faith the DNA in my born-again spirit, the very DNA of God. Awesome. And then he tells how he obeyed the command and his body actually came into line. Instead of winding down, he got fired up and he actually turned 78 in December. And he said, I feel stronger now than I did 20 years ago, walking in the life and energy of God, bucking the trend, superhuman, more than human. And I think that's a really powerful testimony of the influence of flesh and the devil on the soul and the body. And then the influence of God, the Spirit of God, on the soul and the body. Basically, what he believed, his body manifested. Yeah, that's right. And it's true for us. What we believe, our physical bodies manifest in the negative and the positive. And it's not mind over matter. It's the Word of God in his mind over matter. With long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. And I just want to bring this other verse to you. In Deuteronomy it says, as your days are, so shall your strength be. Amen. Put those two together. Amen. Everyone in this room now, think of those two. Basically, God is saying that he will give you a long life, yeah, and strength till the end. Amen. So it's not just strength for today. It's strength for every day, for the rest of your long life. Awesome. We should memorize those scriptures, think it, speak it, believe it, confess it over your body. With long life, he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. And as my days are, so shall my strength be. Think of Kenneth Copeland then. God in his spirit was not enough. He was a faith preacher. He is a faith preacher and has been for many, many years, the biggest part of his life. But he was a faith preacher going downhill. Because God wasn't in his soul in that area. He had to get God in his soul to change his body. We need to get God in our souls to change our bodies, folks. He had to fill his thoughts with God's thoughts. He had to fill his mouth with God's word to drive all the negativity out. And It probably didn't happen overnight. I don't know, it doesn't say. But I believe he probably had to do what we all have to do, and that's meditate on the word until we believe it. And until the word in his soul then started to change his body. One morning he would have woken up thinking, actually, I feel different. Feel like I could go for a run. I've got strength to spare. Touched his toes. You know, like it really happened. But it's because he started to change his thinking and speaking about himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. As children of God, we can remember his benefits or we can forget them. You can remember the word or you can forget it. We don't have to wear out. Praise God. Amen. We don't have to live anxious and, you know, weak. The Holy Spirit will lift us up if we allow him. So we need to exalt Jesus. We need to get the lamp up on the lampstand. Get the word out into our heads and into our mouths. And I know most of you know this, but it's not what we know that saves us. It's what we believe and what we act on. And this isn't a message about being better. If you kind of think that, you've missed it. It's not about believing better. It's not about speaking better. Although I'm confident we all could. We could all believe better. We could all speak better. But this is really about allowing God to be God. Allowing God to take over. Allowing that indwelling person of the Holy Spirit, who is a person. Remember, he's not just a force. Remember and allow the Holy Spirit is in you and allow him to transform your soul. And in the process, give life to your mortal body. It's really spirit inside changing the outside. If we could just go back finally to this diagram. Just raise your hand if you find that helpful. I find that really helpful. We're made in three parts. The spirit and the soul, the body and the soul should be the servants of the spirit. But so often it's the other way around. Soul and body fight to lead. They fight to take control. But remember, salvation is in humility. I yield, you lead. Tomorrow morning, I yield, you lead. I bow my thoughts to your thoughts. I bow what I want to what you want. And just doing that brings the power of the Holy Spirit on the scene. I do really mean something tangible and wow, not theory. Real life-altering power, grace to the humble, Christ in us, the hope of glory. I know it's been a long message and I know it's been a meaty message, but I really hope you've heard the Lord speak to you this morning and been inspired to go for this life. Look, you're made for it. Doing life any other way is not going to be life at all. You'll just end up disappointed and kind of disgruntled with yourself and everybody else. Our souls need God. Your soul actually needs God. And you know, he loves our soul. He loves your soul. He wants to restore it. He wants to protect it. He wants to provide for it. But that's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us, so that we're not pushed around by flesh or the enemy. We can rule in his name. We can rule because we realize God is in me. God is in me. Why do I fear anything? God is in me.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.